to reality and an understanding of the great wisdom. And there are many other teachers and masters and so forth that are involved in these matters also. Let's be alert. Just want to welcome you here a little bit here and say hi, you know, Anne and Anna and Anne-Marie and Annette. Some of you are showing up at both of that. We're not giving you very much time in between things here, you know, but appreciate your dedication and the fact that you show up. Okay. Barbara, hi. Brennan, Catherine, Chris, Frederick, Helen, Hideko, Ishtar, Karen, Carrie, Leslie, Lona, Mariana, Mariut, Martha, Nessa, Rebecca, Risto, Tia, Vera, Ivenica, and Veronica. And over here, Joe is helping manage, and Tuya also on the staff side. Okay, welcome to you, and thank you for being here. Isn't it interesting what the word here now means? We really are approaching that aspect of divinity which will first be accessible, coming through the third ray in general, and it is omnipresence. We're all apparently somewhere else from each other, and yet we are present to each other. That's coming, you know. Omniscience is next. It'll be a while. And omnipotence, well, what does it really mean? Even what does omniscience mean? We have an ever vaster expanse, and do we learn everything and know everything? Well, there's one being that does know everything in our universe. And one day we'll discover, to our amazement, that we are that being. It's not coming up right away, don't worry. Okay. Now, remember these crises. We've been studying them. And sometimes a sign of the zodiac or constellation arises, which doesn't even look characteristic of the kind of crisis we're talking about. But we've explained why it is so. So just run your eyes down those constellations and realize that, yes, they may be involved in many stages along the way of man's development, but they have some kind of particular focus here. An interesting focus, let's just say, you know, this crisis of the burning ground, it's not occurring at every little burning ground. It's, in a way, a final burning ground on the cosmic physical plane. And it's ruled by Leo. And if you were to look at, let's see if I can get there. Oh, goodness me, not sure I'm going to get there. Well, something has happened to my Parabrahm, and it's not allowing me to go there, but I just say this. Gosh, the whole thing is kind of stuck. That when you look at these subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, this particular plane is where we find the Buddha and the Christ, and it's called the Sea of Fire, and wouldn't you know it, it's ruled by Leo, okay? And right before it is something that is our great objective. It's the monadic plane, and it's ruled by Virgo. So we get the idea here as we look at Leo and Virgo, that we're not just talking about preparation for the first initiation. We could. I mean, we could talk about that birthplace, how you have to purify through Virgo before you can apply Leo to the first initiation. But we can also talk about the end. And that Cancer should connect with incarnation and the beginning of our experience in the fourth kingdom, the human kingdom of nature, is very fitting. The ruler of this lowest of all the planes, subplanes of the cosmic physical plane, is, sorry for that, those things come in every once in a while. The ruler is the moon, and Cancer is intimately associated with the moon. So there is a reasoning going on here about why these particular constellations are placed in relation to crisis. Now, I would say for most of us, the crisis that we're going through is not that of incarnation. That happened long ago. It's not that of orientation, because a lot of us have, I would say, we wouldn't be studying these things unless we were already reversing the wheel and the direction of energies within our energy system. I would say that we're involved in different phases of the crisis of initiation. First initiations of the threshold, becoming a birth of the Christ in the heart initiate, becoming a baptized initiate, becoming a transfigured initiate. Maybe those first three are particularly connected with Capricorn. We're involved in that. I don't think anybody here is preparing for the fourth initiation, which gives you direct access to the monad and is what the Master Jesus, the now Master Jesus, went through. We're also involved, people like you and I, in the battlefield. And these are not necessarily, you see, in order. That Scorpio could go right down there before Capricorn. If we consider Capricorn to be generically and most specifically the third initiation and the first, the second initiation is so connected with Scorpio. It's a big battle, and you have to overcome the major aspects of glamour. And is there any of us who has really done that yet? Scorpio has a special kind of connection with all three of the first initiations of the threshold. And in a way, Capricorn does too. A lot of Capricorn people, they don't swim so well. You know, they say, hey, I swim like a rock. Well, there's more to it than they're saying. But from another point of view, they are the one who crosses the water. And that water is the astral plane, and they safely cross the water with their mental polarization and are on their way to a higher type of initiation. So look, you can arrange and rearrange these constellations in various ways, and DK is giving us one of those ways. Do you have to Memorize the signs of the zodiac? Yes, you do. Do you have to memorize the major 10 planets, including Vulcan? Yeah, well, in this study of esoteric energy, yes, you do. And there are other things that have to come into your mind to fix into your mind under this law of fixation having to do with the fifth ray. And you just have to have this as your alphabet so that when you start putting things together in terms of influential triangles, it all makes sense to you. And does that take some extra effort? Yes. And suppose you're not on the third ray or something or the fifth ray, can you do it? Yes, you can. So just to know what is required of us, it may take a little while before we feel comfortable and conversant with the meaning of every one of these points and how to move them around so they mean different things at different stages of development. Okay, that's the requirement. So, yes, we can manage. Now, going back over here, I wanted to just say that we're going to take a little look at Cosmic Fire at this particular link. So that link is also in your chat box, and I think I've sent it to you. And if you really want to put things together, the two books that are indispensable are Cosmic Fire and Esoteric Astrology. They are both the most occult books the Tibetan wrote, and he even said astrology was his most occult book because it dealt exclusively with energy, with the science of energy. As an occultist in training, you need to know all this stuff. Well, maybe not all, but a lot of it. Yes, you do. So, but we have time, and we have the ashram supporting us, and we can do that. Now, going on to where we were when we stopped last, we might here give a little time. I think we're giving, well, you know, we could talk the whole day about these things, really. And in various classes, I think we could and should. We might here give a little time to the practical lessons to be learnt from the seven crises through which man, the individual, and humanity, the larger whole, must pass. And are there a lot of analogies between what we as individuals and what we as humanity must go through? Yes, there are. And so if you know something about the larger picture, you can know something about the smaller, and vice versa. So, in considering these crises, which take place in the life history of the soul from its first incarnation to its final release. So, you know, we're kind of beginning with Cancer and Pisces. Humanity takes its very first incarnation in Cancer, but as an individual, you go forth into matter under the influence of the sign of Pisces. So we're beginning with Cancer, Pisces, and ending with Leo. Isn't it interesting that some of the systems of the zodiac have as their starting point the Cancer Leo placement? It's more of a Kabbalistic system, and it doesn't quite begin at Aries, it begins differently. So, you know, you're just getting into incarnation under Cancer, Pisces, and you're achieving the number five, which I would call mastership, under Leo. Does Leo, as the fifth sign, have a lot to do with becoming a master and a real kind of a graduate, almost a graduate of the fourth kingdom? Yes, yes, it does. Number five, the radiant sun, the symbol of the master. What is the symbol of the master? It's a sun, circle with the dot. And you know what rules Leo, right? It's the sun on all three levels. So that's the end of the human kingdom. And by the time you get into Chohanship, such as our great leaders, Master Moria and Master Kutumi and Paul the Venetian and Master Serapis and Master Hilarion and Master Jesus and some unknown, unascertained seventh ray Chohan, we're beyond mastership. And they are no longer men as are the masters, is the statement. So some people think they know who is that seventh ray master. I won't get into that. It's I think there's a group in California that feels they know pretty well who that master is. And it's possible to discover these things, you know. We've been told that Master Serapis is so busy training the Deva Kingdom for the next revelation of the beautiful Renaissance that's coming and the interplay between the Devas and man, that he's turned over his duties and many responsibilities to a certain Master P. Well, who is Master P? And but then you begin to read some other things and you understand from Jeffrey Hodson that there is a Brotherhood of Luxor in Egypt, and the fourth ray is really important in Egypt, as you can tell from their symbolic hieroglyphs. And we discover that there is a master called Polydorus Isserenius, and he's on the fourth ray, along with another master called Tutuit Bey, who may very well be Master Serapis Bey. So it all begins to fall into place, and you discover when DK hints at certain things, you have to do a little work, and maybe you found the name of that master about whom he does not speak much. This particular master, Master P, is in charge of the whole psychological unfoldment, and he lives in the United States somewhere. So, and as we all know, modern psychology depends hugely upon the fourth ray and the resolving of conflicts and the bringing in of the buddhi and the pure reason beyond the mind and so forth. It all begins to add up, you know. So what I would suggest in all this work is you begin to put the little pieces together. There's lots of little pieces. It's a big jigsaw. And then it begins to gel. Your intuition speaks to you, and all the little pieces begin to fit together. You know, it's a children's story, fairy tale about the poor cobbler who he wasn't making a good living, and he had a lot of trouble. It's the story of the shoemaker and the elves. So the cobbler goes to sleep, not having been able to complete the shoes, but he lays out all the elements that he'll work on the next day. And in the night, here come the elves, and they put it all together really fast, and he notices that he kind of, lies in waiting, and he sees that the elves are coming to help him put it all together. And the elves have the intuition. And when we work very hard on the fifth ray, then we prepare ourselves for the Buddhic power of assembly and pure reason that put all things together in the proper relationship. So don't hesitate to do your mental work, and realize that when you do your mental work, you are actually preparing for entry into Buddhic or intuitive pure reason. And it's a better way to go in than, at least for certain types, than just say, okay, give me an intuition, you know. Do your foundational work. So this begins from Cancer Pisces and it goes to Mastership. So we have the beginning of, you know, from another point of view, we have the beginning of the initiation process and its end in the human phase. But let's just say, reading Master DK's words in black, in considering these crises which take place in the life history of the soul, from its first incarnation until its final release into monadship, it will be found that seven major constellations and their influences, notice their influences pouring through the exoteric and esoteric planets. See, they, you know, the certain planets are friendly to the constellations, and they do pour through. Stage the certain, now this is what's happening. We're getting a little help from the higher powers. Every time we're born, every time we incarnate, our circumstances are staged by a higher knower. In this case, the angel of the presence, or the solar angel. So, and certain constellations are chosen for us to experience through. So, you know, don't think it's just happenstance that you may have been born with Leo rising, or the sun in Capricorn, or born with Aquarius rising and the sun in Taurus. It's not just happenstance. Something's supposed to happen specifically to propel you along the path. So it will be found that seven major constellations and their influences pouring through the exoteric and esoteric planets. And do I have to memorize these? Yes. Yes. Stage the circumstances and condition the environment of the onward moving spiritual man. You know, you can look at your life and you look at your major signs, your rising sign, your sun sign, and your moon sign. And you can find the moon active in early life. You can find the sun sign active throughout life. And for some people, that's the only sign that's active. And for others, they're driving towards the soul, and maybe their rising sign is active in a spiritual way. You can see that. You know, you can just pause for a minute and try to think, how have the higher powers staged my present incarnation so that I can move along the spiritual path, be the onward moving spiritual man? How has this happened? Where was I born? Into what kind of family was I born? What was the prevailing atmosphere in that family experience? What about my early life? What were the environmental factors? Then, as if I began to aspire towards something more spiritual, along what line did that aspiration or forward progress occur? And I think that if you are careful and thoughtful and patient, that you will see how your life has been staged. So certain spiritual objectives are likely to emerge, and the staging has a lot to do with where the different planets are put, which are the major signs of the moon, sun, and rising sign. What about their rulers, you know? What rays did the solar angel choose for your mind, emotions, and body this time around? If you'll examine that, you'll see that it's not just any old thing. It's gathered together for a specific purpose and for your attainment along a specific line. He goes on, certain lives will occur when one or other of these constellations will exert a predominant influence. Think about your sun, moon, and rising sign. Certain lives will occur when one or other of these constellations will exert a predominant influence. Not necessarily the way DK listed them in terms of crisis, but there are other places that those constellations can also be applied. And they will produce that focusing of forces which, given a man's particular equipment at any point in time, because the state of our energy system is really important here. How much have we achieved will determine how we respond to these higher influences. So, about these constellations, they will produce that focusing of forces which, given a man's particular equipment at any point in time, will evoke from him, note, the maximum of possible effort, thus enabling him to move forward into a more enlightened state of consciousness. So, a focusing of forces which becomes evocative and calls forth from us a maximum of effort along a certain line, which results in a breakthrough. Maybe we've been an isolated type, and then we're given a very strong Aquarius group and fellowship and higher associations, all that come into our life, and we build that. Maybe we've been living in darkness in some ways. Maybe the sign of illumination, Taurus, becomes very strong, and we're given that. Maybe we've been ruled by other people, and we've been, in servitude, even in slavery, who knows? And the sign Leo comes in, and we become our own self-ruler. Always the balance can be kept, and the antidote to any situation, or any imbalance that we may have can be provided by different signs of the zodiac. So every crisis that you have, and Master DK hopes you have a few good ones, can lead into greater light. So he will be led into a more enlightened state of consciousness. In other words, we leave this incarnation with a higher light value and radiance than we had when we entered. DK says here, you will note that I do not say enable him to be victorious. That's another thing, right? A man may succeed in surmounting the testing conditions and emerging conqueror over circumstances upon the physical plane and yet be defeated. Now, isn't that interesting? Yeah, you might be able to handle what's thrown at you and overcome various liabilities and still be defeated. Why is that? In terms of the new astrology, it's being explained here. The reason for this, and then bear this in mind in all your occult studies, the reason for this is that unless the struggle and the emergence produces basic changes in consciousness and a greatly extended horizon, they will prove futile to accomplish their intended task. So basically what it means is if we're going to make progress, we have to think of things in terms of the expansion of consciousness. This is a consciousness solar system. If we wanted just the development of mind and matter, we'd go back to the previous solar system. And this is a consciousness chain in the development of our planetary scheme. Consciousness is of the soul, and it's the second aspect of divinity. So someone can look at our life and it can look like a mess, and it looks like we're being defeated everywhere, and this is taken away from us, and we don't, you know, our desires are unfulfilled and blah, blah, blah. And yet our consciousness is growing. So who is the one who has succeeded? Who is the one who is victorious? The one who says, hey, no problem, I handled that. No consciousness development. Or the one to say, yeah, it's been tough, but I certainly understand a lot more than I did before. We know who is the victor. Okay. In studying these moments, the moments of crisis, it must be remembered that they are passed through approximately three times from the standpoint of the major life cycle. Now that's interesting because, as I said, you can apply those crisis situations on many different levels, right? Like Leo is the beginning, as an example, of the first initiation. But it's also the beginning of individualization along with Cancer, and it's also the final burning ground where you achieve liberation. So he starts to give us some spans, different periods in our long, long development, when over those years and lives, different things are being accomplished. So three times we have to go through the kinds of crises that are talked about here, and each time they are in a way rearranged and applied to different levels of evolution. Why does Christmas occur in the winter here in the north in Capricorn? Why is the birth of the Christ in the heart celebrated in Capricorn? Well, okay, it's the beginning, but the first five initiations are ruled by Capricorn in a generic way. And when you get to the third initiation, it sure helps to have Capricorn. And on it goes, you see. So be flexible in your mind and look for the different places that any constellation can be applied. Let's think about Aquarius. Aquarius says the labors of Hercules cleans out the residues. Simply sitting there in the personality. The great rivers, Alpheus and Peneus, sweep through in Aquarius, and in the early days, that cleansing is occurring. That getting rid of the filth on every level is occurring through Aquarius. It's a big help in the second initiation for that reason. Fellowship. Group consciousness, cleansing. But Aquarius can also be applied at the third initiation, the fourth initiation, even the fifth initiation, where the majority of human beings take their mastership. So let's be flexible about the application of these constellations at the different points in our evolution. So three major times, he says, three cycles, amazing, and are recapitulated in a minor sense in some particular life or group of lives. So learn what a constellation is all about and how it can be applied on different levels, different aspects of the constellation emerge. If you can handle them. Now, let's just say, if I'm an Aries type, I can handle some of those things, but I can't handle others. Like, am I ready for the seventh initiation? What a joke. But Aries rules resurrection, and one day will be applied to the seventh initiation when we reach that point. So first learn the nature of the constellations and then where they can be applied. And certain particular crises, which seem mostly to be ruled by those constellations. Do I have to memorize the constellations through which certain rays come? If I say to you, Aries, Leo, Capricorn, what will you say to me? I hope Ray won. Do I have to memorize all that? Yes. Yes, you do. Is it harder than going to school for just a normal course? DK says, no, it's not. He says, if you take the average chemistry book and really get into it, it's no harder to memorize and understand some of these technicalities in relation to the higher energies. We're just not used to doing it. That's it. So anyway, a recapitulation in a minor sense in some particular life or group of lives. Even if we have passed the crisis, it may be recapitulated. Things tend to be recapitulated, or we may have still a higher application. The three cycles of major import in the consciousness of the ego are, and the ego is our higher self or higher power. The three cycles of major import in the consciousness of the reincarnating ego, and we won't get into this right now. are the evolutionary cycle, the cycle of aspiration, and the cycle of initiation. Okay, that's what we're going to take up the next time. Now, I'm kind of, laboring on certain points because I think they need emphasis, and I'm not exactly racing through this material, if you know what I mean. It is material of a very deep nature. So we're ending number 51, the reading thereof. And this was Wednesday morning. And the next time we take this up, I don't know what page we're on here. Are we still on 473?
474.
Yo. Wow. Are we rolling along? Okay. Thank you. And then we'll start number 52. And it'll be Wednesday evening, number 52. So look, I want you to have this really sink in. First of all, make sure you know your 12 constellations and the order in which they occur, and which are, what is the fire triangle, the earth triangle, the air triangle, and the water triangle. Make sure you know that. That's not so hard. And then you'll be in a position to move those things around a little bit and see how this is related to that. But we'll never develop in this great science of relations if we're not sure of the major qualities of the elements that we are relating to each other. So, you know, sometimes we get a little bit lazy in the mind, and we recognize that the earlier type of education, which we have repudiated, was done a lot, memorize this, learn this by rote, learn this by heart, etc. And sometimes beaten into you, you know. But there is a value to it. At least you couldn't be speaking whatever language you speak if you hadn't learned the letters, learned the words, learned the sentences, learned the paragraphs. You couldn't do it. So let's be realistic and learn the factors that combine to make this higher presentation of the science of triangles a cosmic and systemic actuality. Okay, I'm off the soapbox now. Next time we'll take up the three cycles. There are three major cycles of import. And, you know, I make things bigger and smaller so I can see them. And they jump out at me. Now, all of us are going through this. I mean, you know, do you honestly know what cycle you are going through? I mean, do you know it? Maybe you have a hint, you know. What is this cycle? Most probably, it is the cycle of a probationary initiation. Initiations of the threshold. Initiation 1, 2, or leading to 3. Those are the initiations for which Master DK trains us. And remember, what we have to go through even before taking initiation 1, the birth of the Christ in the heart, is no small matter. It can be very painful as you're giving up your orientation to the normal world of the senses, or at least you're developing a completely new perspective on your life in the lower three worlds. That's not easy. And there's lots of separations that occur as a result. Separation from the things you once desired so strongly. So when you're going through that, you got to recognize it. Let's find out who we are in this relative sense and what we are passing through and put our life in context. Okay. Now, friends, I realize, you know, I could qualify for being the parent of one of those people having to go through a 12-step program. What do they say? For those people who suffer from having Gemini parents, and they join the they join the group called Ananon, Ananon and Ananon, because their parents have gone on and on and on. So now I give you the chance, please. What is important to you? What have you noticed? Any thoughts come to you? Any questions come to you? This is the time. And, you know, don't be shy, whatever. What would you like to either propose or ask? It can be in anything in occultism, because everything is related to everything else. So, anybody that would like to say or ask any question, and do not be shy. You know, like I say, you know, even a question like, what is the soul? And that's a big, big question. Even a question like that goes, you know, we say, oh, we use the word soul so much, we should know what the soul is. What is the soul or angel? How is it different from the angel of the presence? You know, what is my higher self? What is my higher power? Whatever. Those things are all fair game at the moment that I open up the floor and say, what do you want to talk about here? But, it, you know, in the field of occultism, naturally. Anything?
Michael.
Tuya.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. From snowy Lapland.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we got the first snow here. I was just thinking a few things about these elements, what I have been thinking and trying to go deeper into it, because there is, when we think about the transformation in our consciousness and how the in life everything is set up the way by the soul, that so-called life events are teaching behind the scenes, even though we are not realizing that that's the case. And just a kind of question and kind of comment, that when we have water and fire, this is traditionally the alchemical process going on, when the water is merging with the fire or fire with the water. And that is always producing friction. It produces by the element, if we think about steam, and through steam.
Steam.
And we cannot see through steam very clearly. So that's why we need to use our mental faculties and our mind. So it would be interesting to look one's own chart, if we have like this important triangle formed by the moon, the sun, and the rising sign. Is there this kind of thing going on, or where we have the ruling planets? If we have a fire sign in our zodiac, in our horoscope, but behind that is the like the fundamental area of some sign. So the first house is ruled by fire, by Aries. If we have water sign there, where that is the place where we have our rising sign. So to look at that would there come, like in the life setup, set up a friction for us by the soul, which is helping us to develop our mind? Or what kind of element wise is our situation in those important points? So as I said, it's a kind of question, but a kind of comment. What do you say? Michael, I cannot hear you.
Because I'm on mute. Okay, the soul stages, the interplay between the different factors of our energy system. And you know, we were always told the joke that the personality loves trines, which give you more or less the same element, like Aries is trine to Leo, Leo is trine to Sagittarius, Sagittarius is trying to Aries and to Leo. In other words, no friction in that regard. So the personality loves trines, like to breeze through, get through. Hey, not too much stress in my life, not too much damage being done here. But the soul loves squares. And that's fire and water. That's earth and air, you know, that's fire, earth, air, and water. There are different ways of combining the elements. So friction is produced for a learning purpose. And who, you know, who are we to know what the solar angel is staging in our lives, and that the difficulties are meant to get out of us something good. Now, Master Moria has his way of saying this. It's not astrological, but he says, when will you finally learn that obstacles are possibilities? And I'm thinking about that, you know. Oftentimes when we human beings are up against an obstacle, we kind of lose it and say, oh, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? And, you know, I hate this friction and all that. And we're not looking at the possibilities within the friction. And, you know, karmic situations can be very frictional, but they're meant to be worked out. And I'm looking here, you know, at the second initiation, you've got this fire of dedication, and it's going to meet the water of emotion, and it's going to produce a lot of steam and mist and fog, and we call that glamour. And only by the right kind of devotion to the soul and to our inner self do we emerge out of that. So there are processes where difficulties occur, and it's all for the good. Like this new difficulty that's occurring, if we could have the attitude, it's all for the good. And you know, as much as anybody, I don't always see it that way. Then we would learn the lesson of the friction. Learn the lesson of the friction. Because if friction occurs, it doesn't mean that something's wrong. It may mean that we have to face something within ourselves that can be resolved. So I agree with you, you know, let's look at it. In my own case, I have a fire sun and a water rising sign. And that's caused a lot of turbulence in my life between assertion on the fire side and sensitivity on the water side. And it's been frictional. It's a square. Now, you know, am I just going to kind of complain about the friction? Or am I going to do something about it which goes in the direction of resolution. There's always going to be a resolution. You know how it goes. You've got a four signs that are cardinal: Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. They're all frictional with each other, but when the circle starts to spin, they rise and they reach a point, the top of the pyramid. And in that initiatory point, a synthesis is produced of the otherwise frictional relationship. So we have to resolve friction through soul-filled mind at first. We can do it. Now, Tuya, I have no idea whether I answered your question or detected what was a question and what was a statement.
It was a very good answer and comment. Yeah, that too. To looking where we have the moon and where we have sun and our rising, but also this original how would you say the fundamental zodiac, which is behind our horoscope? So behind the first house is always fire.
Yes.
Behind the second house, because the Taurus is moving the second house, it's always earth. But I have been looking that when we have like earth quality and then we have the air quality, then they are not so strong. But when we have water and fire together, that really brings those alchemical processes, which are directed, or they have immediate relationship with the Deva substance within us. And if we think about this movement from the astral devas, they are moving towards the fire. So I think that is one of the processes how the vibrations within the body wise is risen when we have these zodiacal signs, water and fire together. Of
Yes,
course, the others are
yeah, they're
producing
important
as
too.
yeah, but there is
See,
really strongly coming the possibility to have those uneasy moments within us when we have to control by our soul the situations or life circumstances that the process goes to that direction that the soul wants and is heightening the quality. So I was just thinking this fundamental behind the scenes happening things when we have the different qualities in the houses and then the either the these three important triangle or three important points, the ascendant and moon, or then the ruling planets, or these
Yes,
three
there's a
important things.
lot of triangles, a lot of triangles in the horoscope. If we, we're studying the science of triangles, and if we would realize that every time you look at an element, you've got a triangle, I mean,
Also,
maybe people don't realize that. You've got Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. You've got Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn in the earth, and you have Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius in the air, and you have Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces in the water. And they have to be studied from the point of view of the science of triangles. There's so many interesting ways that these can be looked at in our own chart. And I just want to say, look, when you have a lot of wind and you have earth, maybe the topsoil is blown away, and then the sun comes out and makes a desert out of everything. See what I mean? You got a problem there. It's a problem of growth. See, in other words, just take the squares. Here's what you do. Let's take a square. Take a triangle, we're going to call Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn. In other words, and we're focusing on Aries. Cancer and Capricorn are square to Aries. They're frictional. It's a taw. It's a T cross. Capricorn's Aries says, I can do what I will to do. And Capricorn says, no, you can't. You know, you got to follow the law. And Cancer says, I want to feel with sensitivity the things around me. And Aries says, just go ahead and forget all that feeling stuff. So, you know, they're kind of at war with each other. And you can set up a bunch of triangles that way. Let's just take a look at Taurus. Taurus Aquarius, going backwards. Taurus Leo, there are problems. Let's take a look at Gemini. We have Gemini Pisces, and we have Gemini Virgo. And so that's another Tau, you know what I mean? And there's friction there, definitely. I mean, Gemini is so mental, intuitive, and Pisces is, you know, sort of full of sensitivity, and Virgo is full of practicality. Virgo says to Gemini, you've got so many ideas up there, you're not applying any of them. Let's get them down to earth and really apply something. And Gemini says, no, I'd rather think about them. You know what I mean? So every time, every sign of the zodiac will create a Tau, a T-square, of which it is the short leg. And those triangles have to be resolved. The final resolution comes in resolving all 12 of the influences and raising them up to a higher point of view. There's such a wealth to be learned by looking at the relationships between the signs themselves. And DK gives a whole different thing. He says, you want to know how the rays come in? Ray 1 comes in through Aries, Leo, Capricorn. Ray 2 comes in through Gemini, Virgo, Pisces. And on he goes, giving you the channel, the triangle by which a ray enters. So look, it's very clear to all of us, as we study astrology in this way, we are studying higher triangles. Should we study higher triangles, or should we just do the triangle exercise? And I say, do both, because it will enrich your understanding to do both. Yeah.
Michael, I meant, I didn't explain enough well what
I know what you meant.
Let's say that if we have the rising sign Cancer, which is the water sign, but the rising is in fiery area, right? We can say that
the generic thing behind it, it's an Aries house with a water rising sign. Yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah. I do.
For instance, we have Leo in eighth house, but eighth house is the Scorpio house, which is watery element.
Yes,
and then we have a fire there. This I was thinking, very subtle ways that what kind of transformation is going on there if we have those water fire elements together.
Exactly, and that has to be investigated in every individual case, because people will react to it differently. But definitely, as you say, there is a combination and a friction when you put a fire sign on a water house, or a water sign on a fire house.
Right. Yes. And there is this alchemical process, which is, in my thought, it is the achievement. Those things are never things which are, in mundane ways, people are describing that they are like bad karma. Okay, maybe that is so-called bad karma, but it is a just wonderful setup to work to bring forth the soul control.
Exactly. How would you like to have a master who said to you, I'm tired of listening to your complaints, the worse the better? So Master Mori is telling us the fast way is to confront the worst. The worse it is for you, the better it is for you. That's a tough road to go, but when we meet these frictions in our life, they are challenges, obstacles, or possibilities. I know you will remind me of that at some point. Okay. Okay, thank you, Tuya. Now, Vera, please go ahead.
Yeah, Michael, it was fascinating today. So many things were resonating with me. As you said that we have to put in hard work under the fifth ray to prepare for whatever is next.
Intuition.
Yes. And then you made a comment about ask whatever, even silly question, what is soul? And I know I was wrestling at least for the last 2 years, quite so intensely about the, what is my soul? Where is my center of my consciousness? And recently, just very recently, in a little group meditation, it came some breakthrough, and I'm still on the cloud nine of that, from that. Because any time when in meditation or in other circumstances, people say who you are, so I say I am Vera, and I always feel like an imposter, using William's term. Or when in meditation, striving, I am the soul, what's the soul consciousness? It still felt like I am reaching for something, the other. And then lately, in about 1 month ago, that was the meditation, and suddenly I felt that was like stream of consciousness, that was like, I am monad. It was inkling, it wasn't full blast of monad, of course. But finally I felt, yes, I was putting my finger on that, my I-ness, little I-ness. So it's so exciting still.
Yes, absolutely. When the concepts we're using become experienced realities in consciousness, it's an exciting moment.
Now, recently I asked a question about sort of egos or people who individualize on moon chain. And so you said at that time, the solar angel wasn't the mediary. And then the solar angel were assigned in this cycle of the Earth. And does it feel sometimes for those who perhaps individualized earlier that somehow, it's not quite at home?
There's an adjustment. I remember this very question coming up 30 years ago in a meeting that some of us were having. We were forming one of those kind of groups, and basically said, well, a lot of the Buddhists are coming, the Buddha with his third ray monad, basically, a lot of the Buddhists are coming from the moon chain, a very intellectual religion, and they do not emphasize soul. They, as a matter of fact, some sects in Buddhism eliminate it altogether. Now we know Master DK is trying to put it back where it belongs, and he's a highly accomplished Buddhist. But yeah, there is a little bit of out of adjustment, because the people individualizing on this chain immediately have the solar angel. Yeah. If they are not among certain aboriginal groups where the solar angel kind of gives energy to become human, but doesn't plant itself in the mechanism, not yet, okay? But in the earlier solar system, it was the upward striving of animal man that evoked the monad. And then the egoic lotus was formed, but it was not formed through the visitation or presence of a solar angel. And in as much as DK is writing for a lot of those moon chain people, the people who tend more to use their mind in the esotericism type of thing, in as much as he's writing for them, and at the same time he's talking always about the solar angel and how important it is, so his main audience is the moon chain group. So we've got to assume that when they came into this fourth chain and this globe without a solar angel, an affiliation was arranged. There's no other way to view it, because they now have a solar angel. And, you know, so how it happened and where it happened, maybe in the third subrace of the, well, I don't know, when did it happen? Yeah, I think in the third subrace of the Atlantean root race. Philip Lindsay would be the one that we could consult on this. He's the, you know, excellent occult historian. If you don't have his book, HHH, The Hidden History of Humanity, and the videos that are going with that, you'll want to pay attention to that too. So anyway, yes, in my view, for the moonchain people who came in particularly in Atlantis, a solar angel connection was created, because that's DK is talking to them and always about the solar angel.
Yeah.
So congratulations on making something real. Every time something becomes real for someone, it's important.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not minimizing the soul, not at all. It just feels like certain pieces of puzzle came together. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different system, and that same system, which is that same system that appeared on the moonchain for individualization. So look, a lot of us probably came in, imagine, with certain petals unfolded already. We didn't have to unfold them all on the earth chain, because in our earliest kind of development as a human being on the moon or in the previous solar system, some of that unfoldment had taken place. That's a mystery. That's really interesting. He tells us about this one's from Venus, this one's from Jupiter, you know, some of the less developed people on our planet, even though those two sources are fantastic, Venus and Jupiter, they came in with certain petals unfolded. Oh, here's a new arrival from Vulcan or from Mercury. Oops, they don't have their second petal unfolded. They just have petal one and a little bit of petal three. Now we've got to work on their second petal right here on emotional Earth, see? So it's so interesting that unfoldment took place before a monad ego even entered onto our planet. And a lot of us are that. We are not, a lot of us are not Earth humanity. But we have a certain responsibility of the mind to help Earth humanity do certain things. And they have a greater tendency towards the spontaneous love intuitive nature that they will develop. Only a few now have entered the hierarchy from among Earth humanity, and the Christ is the foremost of them. I don't know of any other masters in the hierarchy right now that I could with assurance say they are Earth humanity. I think Master KH and Master DK are moonchain humanity. And I think that Master Jesus, Master Moria, maybe Master R, Master Hilarion, I think they are all previous solar system humanity with the karma of the Jewish group heavily upon them, because the Jewish group originated in the previous solar system. So look, when we get to be a little farther along the way here, we will know more of these things as we need to know them. But right now, possibilities kind of pop up, and you say, yeah, that's really interesting. I wonder how it really is. And one day we'll know for sure. Okay, Vera, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, it's great when, I just want to say to everybody, it's great when things become real. We, you know, I was thinking about that, you know, for so much of my life, I've been into like cosmic fire or astrology and, you know, throwing the concepts around and, you know, interesting concepts and all that. But what's it really like when some very intimate form of realization occurs? And instead of the name for the energy, you get the energy itself. That's a different thing, isn't it? So, you know, let's look forward to that. All right. Anything else before we get into our little, our meditation? It's not the meditation that Tuya will be doing tonight in the broadcast. That's more the Tibetan's meditation and necessary, very necessary. We're just thinking about the, you know, the solar systemic and the wider relations. Anything? You know, just, I don't know how long Master DK has been studying. I think a long time. He was a brilliant scholar, Arya Sangha, who is said to have contacted Lord Maitreya in the Tushita heavens in the early centuries of this millennium, you know, back in the early days of Pisces, when he was definitely a Buddhist initiate. And his teacher, Naga, and Arjuna, those would be the names you put together for that incarnation of Master KH. Arya Sangha is different. Arya is noble, Sangha is the community. Arya Sangha, that's the Tibetan. Nagarjuna, that's Master KH. And they all were figures of importance in early Buddhist development, but then, you know, also in Western development. So, look, a lot of masters are needed. A lot of initiates to the fifth degree are imminently needed. So you can know that if you have the will to really move forward no matter what, the wind is going to be at your back, because the ashram needs fifth degree initiates. And so, more rapidly than might otherwise be the case, this kind of achievement is possible for you, for me. We do not, you know, exaggerate. We do not pretend you can take all initiations at the same time. And we stay away from distortions and so forth. And we stay away from lower ego, which says, I want to be an initiate of this or that degree. You know, inside something is saying that. I want to be guaranteeing that we are not. But at the same time, we are aware of the opportunity during the fifth ray Aquarian age, accompanied by the great seventh ray on another cycle. So it's a Uranian possibility, and we can take advantage of it if we will. So just think about your spiritual values. Think about why you're in the spiritual work. Think about what you hope to achieve from it and how you can help other people. Think about what is reality and what is glamour. You know, watch out when someone hears a voice that says, your group is special. The glamour of special selection is one of those things well, as for the other groups, they're this and they're that, but we, you know, watch out for that, because that's moving in just the opposite direction. Okay. All right, friends, great. We'll have a little bit of reflection, and then tonight at 5 o'clock GMT, Tui and I will do our best to overcome this 800-mile difference that where two sets of equipment are separated by 800 miles. We'll do our best, but somehow we'll be on that somehow, that broadcast. And then I'd like to do a little bit on Cosmic Fire tonight at 8 o'clock GMT, and the links are in the chat or have been sent to you. Well, you know, I just say, look, 5.5 years remain of the era of the Forerunner, 1965 to 2025. Interesting that it's 60 years. Interesting. Because you know that John the Baptist, he had to have a lot of that sixth ray to carry forward the idea that Christ is coming. Okay. And Christ came to him, in a way, right in the Jordan River. So, only 5.5 years. And if with all we've been given in theosophy, and all we've been given by Master Decatur Alice Bailey, we do not do some intensive absorption, then we are missing a huge opportunity, and we'll be less ready for the new outpouring. Okay, did someone want to speak?
Me, I was just saying that please tell something about this in the end of the year, the festival of the new group of world servers, and what we are going to organize.
As I did last night, yes. Tui and I here, like many people in different places, 7 years have passed. And every 7 years, the festival week of the new group of world servers is occurring, giving a great opportunity to strengthen that group and to bring esoteric modes of service to humanity so that the exoteric working out can be really effective. So here in Finland, in the south and north, I don't know, I have to work it out with Tuya and she with me. Maybe it'll be only one place, maybe it'll be two places, either here in our Temple of Silence, most probably in the beginning, and maybe later north of the Arctic Circle, we will be holding a 7-day or 8-day event celebrating the festival week of the new group of world servers. And we have some material we're almost ready to send out that will tell you about that. Now, if that is of interest to you and you want to actually come in person, we're very happy to have you join us in person. Otherwise, we're going to be broadcasting and webinaring as much of it as we possibly can. But there's something about being there in person as well that is very helpful. So we're really looking forward to it. And I know there's some groups in the United States that are getting together and so forth, maybe in other places, and taking it seriously. 2019 Festival Week of the New Group of World Servers, December 21st through, or to or through December 28th. You want to add anything, Julia?
Yes, I was just wanting to say also that it's the last festival week before 25. So that's why it is utmost important for us to be connected, even though it is Christmas time. It's really difficult, of course, for everybody because of the time, but there is some reasons why DK has been pointing out that that is when that group is celebrating together. And what I'm thinking, it is the time of Capricorn, which is giving us this deep insight. So the Sun King is symbolically born, and that is the whole reason for all of us gathered together during this time. We all are preparing his coming. So when that kind of moment yearly is happening, it has this energetic impact throughout the planet, throughout the humanity. And coming together, there is that magical thing, what cannot be pointed out before. When one is in the same point, gathered together, and what happens then is that magic. That's why, like, the conferences are so important to come and to be recharged and to be stimulated the same way that is. And also remember that Finland is ruled by Capricorn. Our soul sign is Capricorn. And from that list, what DK was giving, Finland is the only country who has Capricorn rising.
Capricorn, so. Yeah, look, I just sent you to Tuya's email and my email again. And we'll have other ways for us to communicate. But for the moment, if you think you might be interested in joining us in person, please do write us. We only have 3 months remaining. And, we'd like to really get started on planning what will happen here. So we'll be sending that out to you, of course. We'll be studying. I just discovered a fantastic compilation on the new group of world servers that was made 10 years ago by Bill Roach. He did a great job. And we just really have plenty to study, lots to meditate about, and certain ritual ceremonial work, which we will do and Tuya will lead, which helps make things real. So if you're interested, please do write to us, at least indicating your interest, and we'll put you on a list of those who have indicated their interest of being here in person. Okay, friends, let's, it's time to just have a little meditation, okay? So, let's just think about the etheric body and how big it really is. We have our own, of course, but every source has its own etheric body of groups, of nations, of planets, of the solar system, of suns, of constellations, of galaxies. I mean, you know, the etheric body always must be there. Otherwise, there will be no manifestation in dense physical matter. And sometimes these sources just remain etheric for a while, and they do not manifest. They remain like etheric planets or etheric suns, or maybe even etheric constellations. But let's talk about what we can see: planets, suns, constellations, the etheric body of those. And what we begin to realize is the universe is a process. Now, when any particular universal logos emerges out of the absolute deity, there's a plan, an archetype connected with that logos. We haven't yet the slightest idea what that may be. We're just trying to even understand the plan of our ashram that we may be heading towards, let alone the plan of the whole hierarchy or Shambhala or the planetary logos. We have a long way to go. But there is a plan, and there is an archetype. And that archetype calls for the rearrangement of many energies. And right now we're doing a lot of work on the etheric rearrangement. And that work, to put it simply, so that we can all understand, is to take etheric squares and make them into etheric triangles. When we triangulate the square, it's very important. And DK tells us about how an old teacher of his, probably in bygone days, I think in the days of Pythagoras, taught him how to esoterically bisect the square from one diagonal to the other. I mean, making the diagonal by connecting the opposing points. So that's our job. Among people and their etheric nature, to create the triangles. And that will help also create triangles in our own etheric body. None of us has a fully developed etheric body. For none of us are we truly triangulated yet. So our job when it comes to the higher sources is not yet to say, oh, well, now, you know, our group is building a triangle between Earth, Venus, and Mercury. I mean, we can imagine that, but that's not what we can do. Other and higher beings in Shambhala, for instance, are contributing to the building of such a triangle. We can just know about it. So our job, through our studies, is to recognize where these higher triangles exist and how the higher beings are helping build the triangles and what they are for. There is an Earth, Venus, Mercury triangle that we should think about. There is also an Earth, Mars, Venus triangle. There is also an Earth-Mercury-Vulcan triangle. And we could go on. What do they mean? Well, use the fifth ray to study each member of the triangle separately, clearly, accurately, and then you can put everything together. So that's our work. We're not the builders. We're not the registrants of the purpose or the custodians of the plan. And we are not the lights. We are not the lights that carry out the will of God in Shambhala. We're none of those. But we can learn what they do. And that's where we are. And when it comes to the practical work, you know, we have the broadcasts, and you work with your Triangles team. And we might call for the registration of Triangles. Like, you write in and say, I work with these two people. Or they write in and say, I work with these two people. And so we have that in the registration. Lucis Trust did this, and Leona Huffines, who really was and still is a great Triangles worker, she called for the registration of the Triangles. So Tuya and I have to think that through, and maybe we'll do something similar. Anyway, it's a vast etheric network in space, time. And we want to be increasingly aware of how the Triangles are formed. What we're going to discover is that we can be aware of tens, even hundreds of Triangles that have their pushes and their pulls and do affect our individual life and the life of the human kingdom and the planetary life as a whole. And so we just have that vision of a universe of etheric triangles and other formations too, such as circles. We won't get into that yet because it's just a hint for us. Certain of the higher beings have interlocking circles as their etheric structure, but we'll stick with our next step from the square into the triangle, from the third aspect into the second, and so forth. So let's sound a little om to confirm our work this morning here in Europe anyway. Okay, friends, so tonight Tui and I will do all we can do to bring that broadcast on Triangles to you at 5 p.m. GMT, and then we'll do some Cosmic Fire at 8 GMT. And the links are there, and you should have the ordinary broadcast link. When we do a broadcast, we use only that link. We've simplified a lot. From the days when we used to have a different broadcast link for every single program, it was hard to keep up with. So we work with one single link for all broadcasts. Like what's going on now is not a broadcast. This is a webinar. There's a distinction. So lots of love, many blessings from both of us and from all of us. And we're very happy that you joined us, and let's continue to work esoterically so that the exoteric result can be desirable in terms of the divine plan. I'll convert this, and it'll be available on Makara, just the way last night's discussion, which was the sixth program of our Identify as Being series three, has been converted and before long will be up on Makara. And, you know, if you miss one of those and you really want to get into it, you can pick up a lot by just going to Makara and hearing the process. So we'll be seeing you, we'll be talking to you, and many blessings. We're on the right track with Master DK, and let's stay on course. Bye-bye.